Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you that your word is there to help us whenever we are in any kind of difficulty or trial. So we pray today that you will take your word, use it, Lord, in our hearts today, use it in our lives today. And if there is anyone here today who is being tempted in some specific way, we just pray today that you will take your word, and that through your word, you will strengthen and encourage that person so that they can emerge from this triumphant. Take now your word and bless it to our hearts, minds, and our daily living, we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one of those who likes to do the notes and all that, today would probably, if you do it at all, today would be a good day, because there's quite a few blanks, and it is something you can look at later and read some of those scriptures again and all of that. So we have some general observations, starting with James' passage about temptation. I imagine every Christian has been tempted. That's one of the points today. And sometimes more than others. And I just have to feel like the enemy has more tools at his disposal today to tempt people than ever before. We have the electronic media, and we have so many ways today that people, that the enemy has to gain access to people. So let's begin with general observation number one. Temptation is as old as the Garden of Eden. And we all know that story, and we don't need to go there. We don't need to revisit it in detail, but we know what happened there. And as we shared some months ago, every single misfortune, every single unfortunate thing that happens on this planet every single day is either directly or indirectly tied to sin and to that original sin which Eve committed when she gave in to Satan's temptation. And that very first sin was not without temptation. In fact, it was a very carefully planned out temptation, as are many temptations, because the enemy has a pretty good idea of what it is going to take. And he did a very good job that day, and has had the rest of us in a pickle ever since. Number two, God does not tempt. Now, this is from James, where we just read. God does not tempt anyone to do evil, nor can he be tempted himself to do evil. But he does allow his people to undergo temptation. All believers will encounter temptation. No one is exempt. And so while God himself is perfectly holy and true and would never even think of tempting anyone to do evil, yet he allows his people to be tempted. And some people wonder, well, why does God allow that? He allows it for purposes of his own. Our service for him, our obedience to him must be voluntary. It must be a result of our wanting to do his will, of our loving him, of our loving him more than our own desires, of our loving him more than the misguided advice that we get from things and people around us, and so forth. And therefore, we are allowed to be tested. And consequently, he has provisions. Even if we fall into temptation, he has provisions. But in those things, we learn a lot about ourselves. And this type of thing, he allows. Job, of course, is Exhibit A. Our Lord Jesus Christ may actually be Exhibit A, and maybe Job is Exhibit B for this issue of temptation. But God knowingly allowed Job to be tested in just about every single way. And he was given an open invitation by his own wife to turn his back on God and denounce God and renounce God after everything had been taken from him. And so the enemy even worked through her. He had every opportunity to renounce and denounce God, and yet he remained faithful. And this brings particular honor and glory to God. And when we have been through the trial, it says, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who serve Him. When we get to heaven, one of the ones that we're going to meet on those streets is Job. Have you ever thought about, I'd like to meet Job? Huh? Maybe you've thought about, I'd like to meet Peter. I'd like to meet John. I'd like to meet the Apostle Paul. How about Job? Job is a hero of Scripture. How many agree with that? He is a hero of Scripture. He lived in the Old Testament time. He lived before there was even a written word of God. And yet, he displayed loyalty to the Lord, even though he was severely tempted. And God got unique glory out of that situation. When we withstand the temptation and we emerge victorious, that brings special honor and glory to God. And God can say, see, Satan? Number three, Satan is the author of temptation, and he is referred to in Scripture as the tempter. And I have those two scriptures there. When he comes to Jesus in the desert after 40 days of fasting, there he is called the tempter. So this is his trade. This is what he does. Number four, though Satan is the tempter in chief behind the scenes, most temptations are carried out or set up through accomplices. Sometimes there are people in your own family. Sometimes they're friends you go to school with. Sometimes they're somebody you trust very much. He works through accomplices and the manipulation of events and circumstances. And just as we often say, that was providential that I met that person. That was the Lord's hand in that. So there are things that happen in our day that are providential from the other side. And the Lord puts Satan puts a certain thing in our path to see if we'll bite. I hear that almost every Tuesday there's some bait that appears out there in those waters off the bridge out at Knott's Island, you know, and they just appear. That is by design, and that is with forethought. And folks, don't ever believe that there aren't evil powers working behind the scenes. But when it's time to get the job done, Satan can usually use people, because almost all of us have not only been tempted, but the truth is, at some point in our lives, probably he's used us indirectly, sometimes even unknowingly, to be a source of temptation to somebody else. That is a terrible thing to think, but I think it is true. And he only used the serpent once, and then after that, even there, he used a proxy and an accomplice. After that, he's always been able to use people. So don't expect to see the old devil with his horns or anything like that. He would just as soon stay out of sight and leave the work to all those willing hands out there. Number five, temptations are the snares, traps, and mines in the way of the believer. This is the older crowd. The kids are downstairs. But how many here sometimes play video games? Anybody admit to that? Some of you older? I see some hands going up. Now, I don't do video games. I could take a few minutes and tell you why, but there's no need for that. But I have noticed something over the years. We were selling them at prices. We had a little Odyssey game, a little tennis game, where you could bat that tennis ball back and forth, and man, we thought we had the cutting-edge technology. How many have heard of Mario? Now, I've never played Mario, but isn't that a series of traps and this and that and the other? You get the idea. And the whole idea of that game is, how many snares, traps, mines, hidden things can you avoid and get past? Isn't that the way those games are set up? And I've noticed that a lot of those video games are set up like that. My grandson, Austin, here, he's got one. I don't know the name of it, but we were watching it one night. There's all these pits you can fall in, and then you have to find your way back out and all that. Well, folks, that is temptation. And that is real life, and it's happening every day. So it's just part of life. We live in a spiritually dangerous world. So it says, temptations are the snares, traps, and mines in the way of believer, requiring that we be on our spiritual toes continually. They even tell you now that when you leave the Farm Fresh or the food line or whatever, be aware of your surroundings when you go to your car. Don't be in a panic, don't be fearful, but be aware. Isn't that what Jesus said? The word watch, as he used it, means be aware. Watch and pray. Be aware and pray that you fall not into temptation. And Peter didn't pray enough that night, and he fell into temptation. So this is a daily thing. Satan has a lure for every situation. Now, some will call it bait. Call it whatever you want to call it. Lure, bait, lure, live bait. There's worms, and there's crab, there's squid, and there's a lure for every situation. You say, well, that bait's not working today. Let me try this other bait. And pretty soon you find the one that works. That's the way the enemy is with us. Oh, that won't work on Amos Eby. Well, let's see. How about this? Oh, maybe this one will work on Amos Eby. Almost got him. Well, maybe this one will work on Amos Eby. And that is the way it works, folks. Now, he does the tempting, but we're the ones that are tempted. What I mean is, you can be tempted without being tempted. And what I mean by that is, you're being tempted in that the fisherman, no, I mean Satan, is dangling the lure out there, but you're not interested. And that, I hate to say it, but that even happens to Ray Westmoreland sometimes. Sometimes he goes out there, and not often, and comes home with nothing. But that day, they ain't biting. So he's tempting, but they're not being tempted. See? And then other times, there's not even a tempter around, and we're tempted, as James says, because of our own lust. We're drawn away, and all of a sudden, we're tempted. When Achan took the Babylonian tunic, the 200 shekels of silver, and the 50 shekel wedge of gold, there wasn't anybody there saying, Achan, look, you need to take that. He took the bait just like that, and it cost him his life and the life of his family. But it is, let me tell you something, I'm saved, sanctified, and everything else. I came to know the Lord at age 12. How many others are out here saved and sanctified? If you won't claim sanctification, at least claim salvation. How many? Is there still any lust in you? Daddy said he heard about a church one time that the men and the women were going to start kissing each other on the mouth. It's because it says greet each other with a holy kiss. And one of the deacons said to somebody, he said, I don't think that's a very good idea, because he said, I tell you what, that sister, he said, you get that close, he said, there ain't going to be enough Holy Ghost in you to keep you from lusting. And it's the and that's the thing. See, that's so. We go to our next one. 6 here. As James describes, the tempter's job is to entice us to sin. That's his job. That's what he does. But when we give in, it's our own evil desires. The old King James word is lust. It's our own lust that put us over the edge, so that we can never say, I've only been out there once with Ray fishing, but I didn't see anybody taking the fish and placing them on the hook. Every time it was the fish hitting the hook. So nobody can say, well, Ray Westmoreland made me bite the hook. No, that's not how it works. Doesn't work that way. When that fish hits, he's hitting with all his might. And we're the same way in temptation. When we hit that, we're hitting it with all our might, because at that moment our mind has gone into neutral and the old hormones or the old lust or whatever else it is has kicked in, and we are going full steam ahead. We're not thinking about consequences. We're not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not thinking about what may appear in the news. It may remain secret for years, but we're not aware at that moment of any of the consequences. Only as Eve, when she reaches for the fruit, oh, it looks so good. And that's the way it is. Number 7. As the enemy is proactive in his efforts to lead us into sin. And he is, folks. He doesn't just sit around. And the more proactive you get in the things of the Lord, the more proactive he's going to get about targeting you. As believers, we need to be equally proactive in our fight against temptation. Offense is the best defense. Head it off. Head it off up front. Spend that time with the Lord. Spend that time in the Word. Do the things you're supposed to do, and it'll pay off. I had a question asked me one time at a Bible study at a place down in Puerto Rico called Shiloh Mission. They're very much like Teen Challenge, and they were there for rehab, Christian rehab. And I went over there every Monday. We had Bible studies over there. And one of the newer fellows, he said, "Can you explain a verse to me?" He said, "There's this verse that says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man." And he says, "And the Bible says, and God is faithful and will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it." He said, "If God never allows us to be tempted more than we can bear, why is it that some of my brothers give in to temptation if they weren't tempted more than what they could resist?" I had never been asked that question. The Lord gave me an answer on the spot. I said, "Think about school. And you're in third grade. And you're studying third grade stuff. And every now and then, the teacher gives a test. It's third grade for all of them, and all of them are supposed to know the material. And the teacher gives them that test. Do all the children pass the test?" No. Did they not pass the test because the test was too hard? No. They did not pass the test because they did not prepare. They did not study. When others were studying, they maybe were watching TV or playing video games or looking at the cute little girl at the other desk or throwing spitballs. They did not prepare. It isn't the material. 12th graders get 12th grade tests. 8th graders get 8th grade tests. 3rd graders get 3rd grade tests. But even when the test is on your level, if you haven't prepared, you still won't pass it. And that is how it is with the temptation. And the Lord will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able to bear. But he's not going to do for us the stuff that we have got to do. And if you do not have your breakfast, and some people don't eat breakfast, but if you do not take nourishment, eventually what will happen if you skip your nourishment? What will happen eventually? You'll get weak, won't you? Yeah. And so spiritually it's the same way. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We've already heard this morning about Awana and how important and how valuable the Word of God is. So there it is. Offense is the best defense. Number 8, and this is the word of encouragement I want to leave you with today. Though the Lord allows his people to be tempted, he has promised deliverance and victory to those who turn to him in their time of need. He will rescue you if you ask him. Back in the 70s, I think there was a song, Rescue Me. Anybody still remember that song? Rescue Me. The Lord will, I like that song. The Lord will rescue you. He will rescue you if you cry out to him, if you turn to him, and if you do what you're supposed to do. In fact, Jesus died for my sins. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose. And what does he do for me today? He intercedes. Now let me read you two passages and we're going to close with this. And these are from Hebrews. And these are a great word of encouragement. This is about my Lord, the intercessor. And it says, for this reason, he, the intercessor, had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And then at the end of chapter 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Sometimes the old enemy will just get a hold of it and say, you may as well just throw in the towel. You just may, this is the 25th time you've given into that. You may as well just admit you can't do it, just throw in the towel. Yeah, he would love that. I have an intercessor. And even if I do fail, and even if I do fall, there's still hope. Because I have an intercessor. And I have one who knows what it's like. Now, he did it without sin, but he knows what it's like. And he sympathizes, and he makes my case. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted, listen to this, in every way. Just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What do you do? What we just read. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you, even though the tempter's out there and he won't be bound. Oh, I'm going to be so glad when he's bound, when he's bound, when he's bound, when he's bound for 1,000 years, and he will not be able to tempt the people of God anymore. But thank you that even today we have victory, and we can have victory. Even if we've given in, we can still have victory, because we can get cleansing and we can get forgiveness, and we can go on and we can walk in victory, and we can face it the next time and overcome it through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you today that we're not only saved, but that we have one who intercedes for us every day. And yes, he cares, and yes, he knows what it's like. And he knows what we're facing. And he knows the pull, because he himself went through it. So, Father, help us today. If we are weak today, if we've been fighting something today, and we just think, I can't do this, I can't fight this anymore. Yes, we can. By your grace, by your strength, by the help you give, by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, we can overcome. Thank you that this is available to all of us. Help us to walk in it. It's there. Help us to walk in it every day. We thank you, Father. in Jesus' name.